Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, the first half, we do an amazing city or county health director, Barbara Ferrer, mashup, and we'll mash her up with Billy Jack. It's a long story, but it comes out pretty brilliantly. Take some calls. Harbinger, Jordan Harbinger's on to talk security as well. First, I'll tell you about Bet Online. The wait is finally over. Football's back. Mm-hmm. You want to get in on the action this year, you go to Bet Online. Games coming up Sunday. We got the Falcons and Seahawks playing each other. We got Dolphins versus the Patriots, Cowboys versus the Rams, and Packers, Vikings. Got some good games. Buccaneers, Saints. But that's going to be a good game. How's Brady going to do? His first year in a Buccaneer uniform. Bet Online gives you more options to wager on than any other place. From game spreads, totals, prop bets, championship futures, and more. Head to BetOnline today. Take advantage of all the great season opening bonuses. Visit BetOnline.ag, our exclusive partner, Podcast One. Don't forget promo code Podcast One for your sign up bonus today. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Buy tickets now for Modern Drummer Festival 2020, streaming on Live by Live, Saturday, September 12th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Catch performances from more than 30 of the world's best drummers, including Chad Smith of Red Hot Chili Peppers, Taylor Hawkins of Foo Fighters, Mike Portnoy, Cindy Blackman Santana, and many more. Plus, a special tribute to drumming legend Neil Peart. All proceeds benefit brain tumor research at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center in honor of Neil Peart. Get your tickets today at livexlive.com/moderndrummer and tune in September 12th at 8 p.m. Eastern, only on Live by Live.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, Jeff Cesario on sports, and Jordan Harbinger drops by. And now, you better hope Lynch never releases the interview tapes from I'm Your Emotional Support Animal. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. No choice but to get on. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for telling a friend. Love that about you. Good day, Gina Grad. Oh, she's muted. Hi. And Ball Brian.
We'll figure it out.
So we'll talk to Gina and Bald in a second. Gina,
that was my fault. Sorry.
Yeah, we had a little exchange before the show, and it went a little something like this. Gina was showing us her Diet Coke, her icy Diet Coke she was enjoying, which she enjoys on very rare occasion. Bald Brian chimed in and said, I'm going to have one of my bi-yearly I Diet Cokes as well. I thought to myself, I said, yeah, Vinny kind of ruined the diet soda because he told your body still kind of reacts internally like you're basically trying to fool your body, and you're doing a good job of fooling your body. Yep. It thinks you're drinking a Coke. And then I realized, as I was thinking about that in the moment, and I think people need to understand this, I love soda. I love a fucking root beer. I would love to have a great root beer with every meal. I would have a root beer float with every meal.
A cream soda?
It's not that Bald Brian and Gina and Adam Carolla don't like soda. I think that's the perception for all the people that indulge. They're like, well, you don't want soda. Well, we want soda. It's like, no, we want soda. We don't drink soda. That's the disconnect. You know, this thing of like, there seems to be some sort of weird disconnect in that you don't like soda or you don't care about it as much as I care about it. I feel like the people who don't drink it care about it every bit as much as the people who drink a soda with every Amen. Lunch. They just give in to themselves. That's yeah. all.
All I drink is ice water and unsweetened tea. Which is right. basically ice water. And I would much rather IV mainline a Diet Coke straight into my veins.
Oh, I've said, like, when you go to those places that have the small batch kind of artisanal, you know, Henry Weinhardt's root beer, you know, with real sarsaparilla in a glass bottle. By the way, the only thing that's better from Mexico is cola. Like the only thing anyone brags about.
That's right.
Mexican Coke.
No one ever goes, this surgical equipment was manufactured in Tijuana.
Mexico has two things going for it. Mexican Coke and Mexican Coke.
That's right. Well,
it's in Mexico because the cane sugar. It's
right.
not corn syrup.
It's the only thing you put in your body that you brag about comes from Mexico.
And my buddy told me that the real Mexican Coke, though, a real Mexican Coke is served in a plastic bag because in order to get the Mexican Coke in Mexico, you have to bring your own bottle in.
Oh, really?
It's a philosophy bag.
Otherwise, they just give you a bag with a straw. There's your Mexican Coke.
Delicious. Wow. Refreshing.
This AIDS test was manufactured... Yeah, it's only
Guadalajara.
It's only soda.
Someone offered Larry Miller Mexican Coke, saying, "Oh, it has real sugar," and he looks at him and goes, "But it's Mexican water."
That's the comics point of view on everything. So anyway, keep in mind, everyone wants a Coke, and everyone wants a Mexican Coke, and everyone wants a root beer. Some people do not give in to that craving, and those are the people that tend to lose weight. So I think, and on a bigger picture, whether it's exercise or hard work or whatever, being a good parent, I think so many people chalk it up to, well, that's what you do. You know, I'm like, you like doing blah, blah. You know, you like getting up early and going to work or working weekends or, you know, I get that with building stuff. Like I get a lot of satisfaction out of building stuff, but not the part where I have to like bust stucco out and clean up the mess and all that kind of stuff. But way too many people go, oh, that's what you do. And it's like, no, that's what I sort of compel myself to do or force myself to do. Just like the soda, there's stuff you don't do. Not because you don't want the soda. And then there's stuff you do, not because you don't want to sleep in every day until noon. You just force yourself to get up. And for those of you who are not doing this or doing too much of that, stop chalking it up to, well, that's just what you do or you don't do. Because right. then that means that's just what you don't do and do.
Do you get the similarly dismissive thing where it's like, well, that works for you.
Right.
Yeah, it can work for you too.
It'll work for all of society and all of humanity. The part where like you're a good parent and you work hard and you're responsible and you're a good husband, wife, and whatever, and you take it easy on the Mexican Coke. All right. So I have some thoughts. One got me on to Billy Jack because I had Dr. Drew over here. I did a bunch of shows with Dr. Drew half hour ago. And I was exploring all these thoughts. And, you know, I always say, where does this phase lead us? Because everything is kind of a slingshot boomerang event in that, you know, hair, I always say big hair glam rock gave way to grunge. And and I don't know. It's not a coincidence that we entered a phase of music where guys were dressing like women and wearing, you know, hair up to here with spandex and eyeliner and makeup and everything. And the very next thing was dudes wearing tattered T-shirts with
Greasy hair.
I mean, obviously, if they had a choice between wearing a sweater with a hole in it and one without a hole in it, then they would pick the one with the hole in it to wear on stage. That was grunge. That's a conscious decision. I don't know if it was conscious for them, but it's a reaction. It's a reaction. And you know, the preppy movement came right after the hippie movement. So the long hair and the Leonard Skinner thing gave way to the popped collar and the crew cuts. Penny loafers made a comeback.
Nixon
for
gave
Christ
way shit. To, you know, a fucking peanut farmer. They right. The, most, the nicest guy in, you know, politics.
That's how we roll. So I'm thinking to myself, well, let's see. Then what's coming next for us as a society? Because I was talking to Dr. Drew. I was listening to Gina's own KFI. And I was listening to John and Ken were telling the story about Barbara Ferrer. They had a recording of her talking to her staff about reopening schools after the election, which was sort of a weird time. She wasn't given a date. She's going, we can do it after the election's done. Then we'll reopen schools. It seemed weird.
As opposed to actual metrics or something.
Yeah. As opposed to, let's see where we're at in 2 weeks and whatever. Right. It's a random thing to go after the election, which is every time I yelled at Mike August, who has a... Mike August can be checked out in all, almost all facets of life, but has a very keen political sense. He'll tell you when you talk to him politics, he's very tuned in, kind of both directions on everything, has a good, solid base on that. And every time I said to Mike, when the hell are we going to reopen this stuff? He'd just go, after the election. We'll wait for the election, then everything's going to magically reopen. And I was like, to hear her say it out loud on KFI the other night seemed crazy to me, but...
August should be the LA County Health Director.
Oh, God, it'd be awesome. I was thinking, so I guess we'll play a clip because I was laughing with Dr. Drew, and this will get us into Billy Jack and Billy Jack's girlfriend getting raped by the river, and then it'll get us into the Village People. So, and Dawson's got a mashup as well that he seems pre-pleased with himself. Yeah. He's pre-preening. This is a pre-preen. He's not even gotten a full preen yet. He's just pre. He's setting the table for his preening.
It might be preemptive. So
preemptive.
We'll see.
Preening.
Yeah.
Uh huh. Well, premature we'll see. Preening? Yeah. Premature.
Yeah.
You got Barbara Ferrera delivering some bad news because I was saying. Well, first things first. I'll just play you this 40-second clip I heard on KFI last night. Must have been right before you walked in.
Yeah.
Gina
probably
Grad.
The 5 o'clock hour. Yeah.
All right. Well,
who's going to need from us? And then what is the experience around cases and outbreaks when we open even for a relatively small number of people to be on campus? So we don't realistically anticipate that we would be moving to either Tier 2 or to reopening K-12 schools at least until after the election, after, you know, in early November. Like, when we just look at the timing of everything, it seems to us a more realistic approach to this would be to think that we're going to be where we are now until we are done with the elections.
It's funny, she used the word done, too. Like, it's not just after. Like, it's done. Now we can reopen. It's true. It's in the future, but I feel like we should be looking at data every 2 weeks and then figuring out whether kids can go back to school. So arbitrary.
Or she was talking about schools, right?
She's talking about schools.
Universities, yeah, because they're done a semester or a quarter, whatever. Like, at that point, why not just say we'll open in the spring semester or whatever it is?
Well, yeah, what does the election have to do with it? Because she said election, then she said November. She should have just stuck with saying November, because saying after the election twice is very weird.
Yeah, because at that point, Gina, like, the ship has sailed on that semester or quarter or whatever.
Right.
It's like, just pick it up brand new when the whole thing starts again.
And she's talking about all schools, I'm guessing, grade schools and everything else.
K through 12, I think, yeah.
Yeah, either way, it was interesting that she used the word done. When the elections are done, when they're like, once this thing's done, then we can move on to reopening things. Okay. So I was talking to Drew about how she's kind of morose and she's sullen and she kind of bums me out. Like, I want to see Everett Koop up there in his Captain Crunch uniform.
You
giving
want
a
the
speed.
Upbeat health director?
Yes. I want someone who's like, I want a little more positivity. And
Patch Adams.
Yeah, I want Patch Adams.
You want her to wear a nose.
Yes. And then we had, so then I said, everything kind of reminds me now of Billy Jack and Billy Jack's girlfriend getting raped by the side of the river. And then I think I told Gary to mash it up. But then that led me to have thoughts about the Village People. But do we have the mashup or do we have Gary's? It's about a minute of this. Sorry. It's Billy. Hold on. One is a scene from Billy Jack where his girlfriend was just raped by the river by Bernard. And she's explaining to another girl how Billy can't undo her raping with violence. And then we'll mash that up with health director Barbara Ferrer.
She doesn't not look like Barbara Ferrer, by the way.
She looks like every bummer from the 70s, like every one of my mom's bummer friends. And you think about that. Now, just to keep this in context for later on, this is 1973 is when Billy Jack came out. Go ahead.
You mustn't tell Billy, Cindy.
Why not?
Because he will kill him. Even if Billy kills him.
So if you're a person with an underlying health condition, this is a reminder that we do ask that you stay home as much as possible, even during our recovery journey.
The kids, that's all I have left now.
Less than half of these, 205, were among people who were sheltered.
If I can't really turn the other cheek, when I can help the kids the most.
I'm also sad to report that one additional person experiencing homelessness has passed away from COVID-19, and this does bring the total deaths among people experiencing homelessness to 14.
I just couldn't live with what happened here.
And to the family and friends of the person who died, we offer you our deepest condolences.
Oh, hold on a second. Please. Hold on. To the family and friends of the person who died in the street of homelessness, fuck off. What the fuck were you doing?
Where were you?
Your brother. Hey, that's my best buddy out there perishing on the street. Hey, that's my kid's sister out there perishing on the street. Like, if that's your kid, go fucking scoop him up and build him a garage bedroom. Sorry, did I cut it off, Max?
That was it. That was pretty much it. Yeah.
You get it. So I was thinking, I was there. You guys were not around to experience the full-blown bummer that was the late 60s, early 70s. But then I started saying to Drew, well, you know my theory, my snapback theory, which is where do we go from that? And where we went from that in 1973 was the Village People. To Village People, we're like, we're fucking done seeing this chick sobbing about being raped by the side of the river. We want gay guys dressed as cops and Indians and construction workers just marching in place and lip syncing and spangled up and singing happy songs.
Singing about the Navy.
Yeah, now you think about
the manliest thing of all.
This was, and lest you guys think that Billy Jack wasn't a cultural phenomenon, it was a cultural phenomenon. That's the reason it was popular. It's not because it was a good film. It like captured the zeitgeist of where we were. It wasn't a good film. It was Billy Jack was essentially a B movie by any measure. It didn't have stars. Nobody went on to do anything. It was really not. It was a really. I've seen the movie five times, three when I was high. But it was really. It's a slow moving, plotting B movie, and it captured the zeitgeist. And obviously, the Village People suck musically, but they were capturing. They were both subpar products. That captured, you know, you can go, well, everyone's got an iPhone. Yeah, because iPhones kick ass. That's why everyone has an iPhone. You know what I mean? Like, that's a good product. Or like, everyone wants to drive a BMW. Yeah, because BMWs kick ass. Billy Jack sucked, and so did the Village People, but it was the timing was perfect. Yes, Brian?
I was going to say, I don't know if you have the financials in front of you or if you're planning on talking about them, but I've only really heard of Billy Jack through you in the descriptions. Like, it doesn't make the... Time has not been kind to Billy Jack.
By the way, but for that reason alone, you should owe me a debt of gratitude, Brian. Raising money for cancer pales in comparison to exposing you to Billy Jack.
Also, Billy Jack was a cultural phenomenon. It was released in 71. It was the number two grossing movie of the year. Oh, budget was $800,000. It made $32 million, which is an astounding sum in those days. The number one movie of the year was Fiddler on the Roof at $40 million. Billy Jack number two at 32.
Talk about two polar opposites.
Beat out The French Connection and Summer of 40. Diamonds Are Forever, a fucking Bond movie.
It was 800 grand. It made 30-something million dollars when tickets were 75 cents.
Wow.
I mean, that is...
That's big.
That is... Again, it wasn't a... It was a low-budget movie. I mean, 800 grand in 1971 wasn't free, but that was not a James Bond budget.
No.
Yes, sorry. Max Banner.
Diamonds Are Forever, by comparison's budget, obviously a big budget action movie, $7.2 million. So a small movie.
Right. And it...
Wow.
God, it made a ton of money, yes.
And Quentin Tarantino and Brad Pitt said that they used Laughlin's performance as an influence for Pitt's character in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Now we're talking.
Kicking ass and not saying all that much.
Taking no names.
Right. So now, that was the early 70s, and then the Village People were 77. And
let me just ask you, just because it's movie to movie, would you say, in terms of the cultural shift, we went Billy Jack and then Fast Times at Ridgemont High? Or is that too far of a time comparison?
That's
because
a decade
that's
apart,
what could be more different.
Right. Well, yeah, there's a lot there, but there were some themes in Fast Times that had, it wasn't a farcical comedy. What I'm saying is this went from bottom line bummer boots on the ground to you take Can't Stop the Music, Xanadu, these big old body musicals. I'm sorry. Do you have how come everyone's telling me Billy Jack came out in 73? Did it re-release?
If you Google it, the first thing says 73, but if you do a little deeper dive, it's 71.
Oh, okay. All right. Anyway, 6 years later, the Village People were formed, and here came that. Now, I think Dawson's got a mashup.
Yeah, I only got to spend about 20 minutes of this on this, but the credit goes to you for identifying the juxtaposition and disparity between these two things, because this really fits. This is wonderful.
All right.
I pray Billy kills him.
You mustn't tell Billy, Cindy.
Why not?
Because he will kill him.
Damn your pacifism! I am not gonna let that sick animal get away with this!
He has gotten away with it. Even if Billy kills him, kills them all, it wouldn't change what's happened here today.
Young man, there's no need to feel down. I said, young man.
Damn your pacifism!
I said, young man.
He wouldn't take away any of the horror.
To be unhappy.
You just destroy a world of innocent kids.
Young man, when you're short on your dough,
can't you understand?
And I'm sure you will find me.
My religion, my nonviolence, the kids, that's all I have left now.
Damn your pacifism!
If I can't really turn the other cheek, but I can help the kids the most.
Damn your pacifism!
Then I couldn't endure what happened here today.
I am not gonna let that sick animal get away with this! Damn your pacifism!
Alright, let's bring it home. Let's bring it home. We got it.
That was a joy.
Why not?
Yeah, and it's all for shits and giggles, but there's really, my question is where are we going? Because
yeah,
we're at Billy Jack, freshly raped by the side of the river. Where are we going from here? Are we going full disco? Might we go full disco? I don't know. I don't imagine we are, but we're going to go somewhere. And we usually go the other direction.
Well, so like the early 2000s was boy bands, Britney Spears, just, you know, flashy and like bubblegum music, and now we're in a very sullen place. So is there a middle ground, or are we going to swing for the fences again with the boy band stuff?
That's a good observation, Gina. I remember specifically when 9/11 happened, there were a lot of people who were speculating, like, oh, that's enough of that pop. It's a serious time. It's a mournful time. Enough of that pop. That went on for another fucking decade. And we're still kind of in, if you count, like, you know, the Kardashians and the Housewives, that, like, that's the same oeuvre, you know what I mean? It tickles the same funny bone as pop music. So we're in the middle of it.
Oh, yeah. I have a theory now. You know, my theory was going to be all sort of safe spaces and octagons. Mm-hmm. We used to be able to basically unite. And maybe because of social media, maybe it's impossible. But here's an interesting thing. The whole country went down sort of the Vietnam, Richard Nixon, Billy Jack route. That's where we all went there. Now, look, there's always a few televangelists or something that are driving around purple Cadillacs and, you know, living in the South. But I just mean, that's where we all went. And then later on, we all went disco. We made disco movies, disco everything at all. We all went disco. So the whole country just kind of went, oh, we're going over here by the side of the river with Billy Jack's girlfriend. And then we all went, oh, fuck it, we're going disco. And we all
going
went disco.
54.
Maybe Now, I think we're getting a place where half of us are going, we're going in the river with Billy Jack's girlfriend, and the other half is going, we're going past disco. Maybe that's what's happening. Yeah. Maybe there will be no more, the entire populace goes over here or goes over there. We're all just going to spread out and get a little further apart. And like I said, half the country is calling Grubhub and having Taco Bell brought to their house, and the other is training for a Tough Mudder. Now we're just pulling further. So I guess it doesn't have to be where do we head as a nation, although it'd be nice. It's more like who's going to head further in opposite directions as a nation, which is what we may be heading to now. All right. Somebody sent over some great Love Boat stuff that I'm very interested. They sent her a mashup of Dr. Bricker hitting on the patients. And by the way, the Love Boat is in reaction to this. That started in the decade of the 70s. So there was a lot of, let's not forget, the 70s started with All in the Family and Maude and Good Times and the Jeffersons and like these kind of Sanford and Son. They had some tough, gritty kind of cop shows like Beretta and shows like that. But they had the shows like Good Times, just family living in the ghetto. You know, nothing's ever going to get better. South Side of Chicago, All in the Family, that world. And that's where the 70s TV, that's prime time, MASH. Prime time 70s TV started with that. It ended with Fantasy Island and the Love Boat, and Vegas, and it ended with that,
with luxury out of the struggle, the struggling family.
More fantasy, more like a bizarre sort of cartoon. It went from like what was more sort of sobering than Good Times and All in the Family. It's just like, Archie Bunker's wife is not attractive. He's not attractive. Nobody has money. Everyone's arguing all the time. They live in Queens. The other ones live in the projects and stuff. Now it's like we're setting sail for love and adventure. Yes, Brian.
Well, the Village People were that. They were hyper-reality, right? Like some grotesque version of reality. And think about what else was popular musically at the time. Glam rock and punk.
Right.
Like, those are two hyper-realities. You don't see the world reflected there. You see sort of a grotesque impersonation of the world.
Absolutely. All right. So somebody sent in a mashup or a montage of Dr. Bricker. He was the ship's doctor. And by the way, the captain, just a loop of them hitting on strange passengers, overtly hitting on strange passengers. First, let me tell you about features. Changing your socks make a huge difference in your daily life, your walk, or if you're hitting the links, they make a sock for that as well. These socks are fantastic. They sent me out a few pair. I wear them. It makes a difference. People get way into the shoes. They forget about the socks. That's in between. That's a Tootsie coaster, man. In between your feet and your shoes go your socks. Why not invest in the good stuff? Features. Targeted compression hugs your arch, keeps the sock in place, preventing bunching, slipping, or sliding down into your shoe. Reduces discomfort, prevents blisters. You can focus on your enhanced, like I said, they have one just for golf. You want to get that extra edge. Lifetime guaranteed. If you're unsatisfied at any point, they'll give you a replacement pair. No questions asked. Proud family-owned business out of North Carolina. Features, right, Dawson?
Features socks will change how you feel about socks forever, and you can get $10 off your first pair of Features when you use code Adam at features.com. That's FEETURES.com. Promo code Adam for $10 off your first pair of Features.
All right, I'll play a few seconds. Now, this is the captain and the doctor hitting on a woman who just walked onto the ship.
Meryl Stubing, how do you do? And Adam Bricker, ship's doctor. Hello.
Hi.
You know, this is my very first cruise. Now, it may take some doing to make me into a sailor.
I wouldn't try to make you into anything. I like you just the way you are.
Aaron, maybe I better show you your cabin.
If you need anything, just holler.
My girlfriend met you on a cruise last summer, and she hasn't stopped talking about you.
Oh, I hate patients who kiss and tell.
What time are your office hours?
Office hours? For you? I'll make a cabin call.
He's swinging by to fuck her later.
Dr. Adam Bricker.
I'm Melanie Taylor, and if you'll help us find our cabin, you'll have a friend for life.
I'll not only help you find it, I'll move in with you.
As the ship's official.
You can sync it up or something, Max Pat. I don't know what it's doing.
Oh, well, it's for the audio, because I'm having trouble sharing it through the Zoom, so Dawson's playing the audio.
Oh, okay. But this is everyone who works on the ship openly hitting on everyone who comes onto the ship, including the captain.
Yeah. So just FYI, we've had many Corolla cruises. Each one's been better than the last. And if I was getting on the next cruise and saw the captain and said, oh, thank God, could you please help me find my room? And he said, I'll move in with you. I'd be like, I think I'll stay portside.
All right. Keep it going. There's a few more in there, I think.
If I have to veto that idea, overcrowded cabins are a serious health hazard.
Oh, and what do you suggest we do, Doctor?
Come to my cabin instead.
Can I come to? I always want to see how doctors operate.
Hi, I'm Mike Andrews. It's my friend Doug Ketchum, and we've come to rescue you from this dangerous nautical type.
You really can't trust a grown man in a sailor suit.
Okay, then I'll put on my stethoscope. We can play doctor.
This is April.
Charo.
Wow. I can't wait to see the rest of the year. Take them. I'll go back to your stateroom and lie down.
Doc.
Take pills.
This is your stateroom. April's a stowaway, and Captain Steubing wants her kept here.
Hi.
Draping time on the ship.
Just barred the door.
This supercut was evidence.
Yeah.
And thanks to listener Corey Getty for sending us those.
He sent us a 9-minute long version. I mean, this is only from the first two seasons. It is. It's not. It's overt. It's insane. He's blocking the door. He's going to rape Charo. Coochie, coochie. But here's the thing, and I was screaming about this with Drew. I said, if you did this, so obviously Princess Cruise Lines Incorporated has to vet every script. Because right. If you made a script, think about if you're just doing a comedy at sea and it was a generic cruise line, every fifth episode someone would get food poisoning and be trapped in their cabin the whole trip, and the husband or the wife would have to tend to them while wanting to sneak out and have good fun, and there'd be a bunch of food poisoning ones,
mishaps, yeah.
Or mishaps, or somebody would be, you know, Isaac would pour a drink and go, I think this beer's gone flat, you know, and it'd be like a big, you can watch every episode, which I have. There's never an episode about them being late or them being early or my room's a mess or there's bed bugs or I got food poisoning or this muffin's dry. There's nothing except for the doctor and the captain and the staff trying to fuck passengers, which means the Princess Cruise Line had to okay all these scripts going, you can't say we serve a dry muffin on Princess Cruise and like circle that, hand it back. They must have circled stuff all the time where they were like, you know, the writers probably wrote one where like the ship left early from Puerto Vallarta and they got trapped in Puerto. It's like, no, we don't leave early. We don't leave early. They just circle it and hand it back. But they didn't circle any of the doctor trying to fuck passengers.
I would much rather have a dry muffin than to be raped by the captain of the ship.
Well, you know how much it's going to hurt.
Those are only two options.
If you are raped with a dry muffin.
Oh, boy.
You
princess would get
going,
a sternly worded letter.
You're going to. No. I'm saying your muffin. I'm saying you're going to chafe. You don't want that
true.
Muffin. You need that muffin to be properly lubricated.
Who are you telling?
Thank
you.
That's right. As you get older, your muffin dries. And you need
thank you, doctor.
Personal lubrication.
Are you going to come to my stateroom and tell me about it?
It's so funny. There was one in there we cut out, but he was like up on the deck hitting on a chick. There was one where he leaned over and took a suck off the chick's drink. I don't know why we cut. Why did we cut that one out, Max? That was the best one. He leaned. He took a drink. He drank someone's alcohol in his uniform on the.
I'll show you this still, but the reason I cut it out is because I'm playing for audio here as well.
All right. Well, I would yell about it. It was still funny. But anyway, he was like topside, took a suck off the chick's drink, was hitting on her. And like somebody said, like, you know, what are your office hours? And I was thinking to myself, never. He's never in his office. He's roaming around the ship trying to pick up chicks. And by the way, if he is in his office, he's fucking Charo. Right. Don't go to his office.
It's the last place you want to go.
You want to look disturbed. You want to look at the back of the Dr. Sack? Now, here's my whole point. This is like, you watch this, it seems horrifying now, and the reason it meant nothing to anybody is the same way we'd say, well, yeah, in the 50s, they would say Negro, you know? Oh, they'd say Negro. Like, yeah, why wouldn't they say Negro? Like, nobody flagged anything because that was a norm. It was a norm. No, there was, they ran 10 episodes, 10 seasons, I should say, 10 seasons of this. No one ever wrote a letter. It's not like there was controversy. That was a norm. That was a norm. There's a picture of the doc in uniform on the deck sucking off a passenger's drink before he hits on her.
Some high socks and some short shorts.
Looks like a Boy Scout.
Well,
looks like part of the Village People.
All I got to say about that is simpler times. All right, let's see. Somebody, AJ, is a teacher from New Jersey. AJ.
Hey, how's it going?
Hi, guy.
What's up, Ace? I'm pretty much like your least favorite person. I'm a hero teacher and a leaf-blowing landscaper. So I apologize for both of my careers.
All right. What's going on?
Well, new school year to start. I've heard you talk a lot about yourself as a student, you know, someone who's clever, bright, and whatnot, but just not academically motivated or inclined. And already in the year, I can see a couple kids that might be leaning that way. I've had kids like that in the past, and I'm wondering how would I teach high school English. How would you have wanted a teacher to approach you or to handle you?
Good question.
Good question. Funny. Couple things. I just had a conversation with my son the other day where he's explaining they don't have class clown anymore or class whatever. Do you guys have a class clown?
I think we still do. I don't really look in the yearbook, but I think they do.
My son was saying they nixed it from the yearbook. I imagine it's a new world order where we don't, you know, when I was young, they had class flirt and best physique and best body on a woman and stuff, you know, 15-year-olds.
My high school had rear of the year.
Rear of the year.
Yeah.
Nice.
Who's that got the awesome. Best fart tank in the 11th grade? Rear of the year, and they That's turn great. These girls yeah. around and take a picture of their ass. Oh my yeah. God. All right. That's so great. I'm saying to my son, like, that's kind of a bummer. Like, I got class clown. I'm glad to have the mantle. And then he's like, yeah, okay, we've heard it before. And I said, all Central Valley first team in football and class clown. Now go ask one of these loser dads around here if they have both those titles. And he's like, I got it. But here's what I think. Here's an interesting thing I just said to Dr. Drew. So Dr. Drew and I have been together for a long time. This'll segue into your question, but it'll start off as something a little different. We'd just done some toppers, we call them, some live read toppers. We did a few in a row because we taped a few shows in a row. And I just was handed copy for sponsors, and I've just mowed right through it, you know. And we did a bunch of them. And then we were done. We were walking out of the studio, and I said, you know what, Drew, I could have never done that when I met you. I couldn't read. I couldn't read out loud. And I couldn't have done it when I was 40. You couldn't have handed me copy and had me read it. I learned to read out loud and that skill of reading the copy out loud past the age of 40, essentially. And now I'm actually quite
crazy.
Yeah. Now, Drew, I'm actually quite good at reading out loud. Well, it might not sound like much to you. I mean, you know, you were Lord Jeff. You went to a very prestigious college, but I grew up, I never even took the SATs.
Yeah.
Well, again, you sound a little dismissive about it, but I was literally reading at a fifth grade level when I left high school. And now you could put a whole page of fresh copy in front of me and I could just mow right through it like a pro.
Right, right.
Yeah. Well, again, to me, it's a victory. To you, it sounds like a Tuesday. I get it. You've been reading academic papers your entire life.
Sometimes I do. I'll tell you what.
But, right, sometimes you read for pleasure, and other times you read to prepare for an expose or a lecture, right?
Right.
Right.
Okay. Right.
Well, anyway, Drew, I'm just saying I'm pretty proud of myself for learning how to read at such an advanced age.
Right.
Okay. That's all. I don't expect a parade. I'm just saying it's a big deal to me. It doesn't sound like it's as big a deal to you.
I
That's it. So
your trail's off.
He said, did you think you were dyslexic when you were young? I was like, I never learned how to read. And then I learned how to read by reading tons of copy out loud. And I got better at who the fuck gets better at reading after 40 who was born in this country? You know what I mean? But my point is you can get better at everything if you simply kind of apply yourself. And the good news is your kids have you, AJ. So it's like you're looking for their skill that is sort of outside of the scholastic world. I don't think it's a one size fits all. I think, and I also think as long as they're sitting in your class, they should try to get the best grade they can. You know, I mean, they're there, you know, might as well do the work.
Did you try to get the best grade you could?
I did from a very limited standpoint in that I couldn't really read or write, so I would just sort of sit in the class and I would attempt
you'd show up
to be as good a student as I could, minus the part where you have any tools to be a good student.
But maybe more to, and I would imagine AJ's probably already doing this, but in the question of what would you have liked, there are maybe one or maybe two teachers you talk about. We've met one of them that was like really cool, that, you know, noticed you beyond the, you know, inability to read and beyond the goofing off and kind of made you feel like a worthy student and a good person. And that had to be helpful. And I'm sure AJ does that.
I never had those teachers, but.
Well, what was the one we had on?
Mr. Bernal?
Yeah, like, just didn't make you feel like an asshole.
No, Mr. Bernal was nice, and we used to fuck around together. And he remembered that story about me picking up heavyset Debbie, who collapsed on her high heel. But
her name is right. Debbie.
Yes, Debbie. Which I'm glad he recalled, because I forgot about that story. But I knew him as one of the cool ones, but nobody ever pulled me aside and said, I know there's more going on than your D- GPA. Like, I know there's something more. You just have to find it. And that conversation I never had. I had teachers that thought I was nice and they were funny, or I made them laugh or whatever it is, but they never really could separate making them laugh or having a quick wit to something that was applicable outside of the classroom. Right. That was the problem back then, is you couldn't, whatever you were, you were quick-witted, or you had a funny, sharp tongue, or you're funny, or whatever. It's like, that's all well and good, but have fun cleaning carpets after you graduate high school. See how your quick wit serves you when you're pushing a carpet wand. But AJ, I think for you, just being you, just being aware of it and being able to pull kids aside that aren't doing well and kind of going, all right, this isn't your thing. What is your thing? Like, where would you excel? That would be quite a step toward the light. Let's see. Someone wants to comment on my Twitter feed. Karen 62 San Ynez.
Yes. Hey, Adam. Thanks for taking my call.
Hi, guy.
Well, I'm loving your Twitter feed, and it fooled me when you were making the little safety tweets, like we all need to wear a mask. And then I caught on that you were mocking people. But I just enjoy it so much, and I love being on hold because you were talking about the Billy Jack movie. It also reminds me of Walking Tall.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, sorry I'm going on, but I also like what you said about where we go from here. It reminds me of the fall of Rome, you know, where you have this big thing that all acts the same way, and then the barbarians take over, but then a bunch of little cool stuff emerges. So I think you're on track there with your theory.
Well, thanks, I guess. Also, I was bringing up Walking Tall to Dr. Drew earlier, which is there was these sort of one-man vigilante guys who didn't have guns. They, like, Walking Tall guy had a baseball bat or a stick or something. I think
wasn't that a Rock movie?
The Rock reprised Walking Tall, which was a Joe Don Baker thing from the 70s. Another one of those, like, he's a badass. By the way, you could be a hit movie if in the trailer a guy took a baseball bat. Like, here's how you'd be a hit movie. Thanks, sir. You could be a hit movie in the early 70s if some guy pulled up in a pickup truck and said, why don't you get back home? Could get a little dangerous out here tonight. And I went, dangerous? And I smashed your windshield with a baseball bat. It'd be like, oh, we're seeing that movie.
Yep.
That guy just broke that dude's windshield.
He means business.
With a bat. Like, it didn't take that much. It was just him walking along with a Buford, was it Buford Pusser? I think it may have been a true story. I think it was based on a true story of like a sheriff in a small town who had like a bat or stick. 1973, Buford Pusser. Didn't take no lip. Yeah, Joe Don.
Better than Bumper McGillicuddy or whatever his name was.
Bumper, yeah, BM. Yeah, Bumper Morgan.
Bumper Morgan.
The Blue Knight. Yeah. I keep saying a bat or a stick, but it's essentially a hybrid between a bat and a stick.
Like it's a shillelagh.
He took a shillelagh. And he was just going like El Cabong on everybody in his town. And I don't know, for some reason, it's like Joe Don Baker is walking tall. There's like picture of him in boots. You know, all he had to have was boots and a big bat. And he's like, look at him. He's taking on the bad guys with a 2x4. Yeah, it didn't take much to get through. By the way, look at this combo. What's it going to take to get you out to the movie? I live in 900 square foot of unair-conditioned, flat-out depression with a mom is in a room of the door locked yelling, freak out. And for 75 cents, I can walk to this place that has air conditioning and watch like a triple feature and get away from this madness. Of course. And there was obviously no iPhone, no movies, no Blu-ray, no nothing. It was like, that's it. That's what's playing at the theater. You have to go.
That's your day. Hey, now I'm starting to see between Walking Tall and porn, there is a major connection there. All it took in the 70s was some guy walking around with a stick. And that's pretty much all it took in porn. I mean, you got your Sears catalog, you got your Skinemax. That's not going to cut it these days for people.
No, it is.
You're going to need to see Tom Cruise ride a motorcycle off a mountain and parachute down, and you're going to need to see some double anal.
Double anal.
Right? Am I?
Am I
right?
I know,
is that what
I
you
am.
Guys are watching?
Is that a thing, Gina?
You've never heard of DADVP?
Oh, isn't that yoga? I've been doing it wrong. I keep Googling it. I was like, I'm going to get into shape. I want to be more flexible. And I
some
keep...
guy next to him, the snake keeps popping up.
All right, let me tell you about LifeLock. LifeLock warning, new phishing scam masquerades as a billing error. Alert from Netflix pushing victims to update their payment details within 24 hours of their subscription or their subscription is going to be voided. And people are so scared. They don't want to lose that subscription, so they give them their info. The link even redirects to a very real-looking CAPTCHA form. It's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives every day. We put our info at risk on the internet. LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number, for sale on the dark web. If you become a victim of identity theft, you have access to a dedicated restoration specialist. Protect yourself with LifeLock, right, Dawson?
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses. LifeLock can see threats you might miss on your own. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year by using promo code Adam. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or head to LifeLock.com. Use promo code Adam for 25% off.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back with Jordan Harbinger. He's got some interesting takes on, I think, home security or cybersecurity. We'll do that right after this.
For just $25, you get wine and gifts. Ace's favorite stuff or products from ACS. Every single month, you get the drink you choose.
It's hard to beat cool stuff and booze. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut.
You heard Dick. It's time for another ballsy month of Adam's Monthly Nut. This month includes two Vinny Tortorich approved and invented ultra fat instant energy packs so you don't reach for that donut. Four shot glass ice molds so you can keep your whiskey cold and straight down the hatch. A bottle of Chateau Spill to remove wine stains or blood from the fine silk you're donning. Of course, a bottle of your choice. And the coup de grace, a digital download of the very first basic cable commentary, Roadhouse. This $60 value can be yours for only $25 at CorollaDrinks.com. It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Hey, Ace Man, team, Bald, Gina, lackeys. A couple rich man, poor man for you. First, gets away with dating underage girls. Second, has no idea how much money they're going to make this year. Get it on.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
That's good. Somebody tweeted me one yesterday, and we need to get this in order, Maxipata. Get this stuff on a calendar so we can revisit it, like, I don't know, every month and a half or okay. Something. But somebody tweeted multiple dwellings on the same property.
Wow.
Yeah.
And again, it's not that's a middle class thing. Like when you got acreage, you got pool houses and boat houses and all kinds of stuff. And then really poor people got shacks like spread out as well.
It's encampment versus compound.
That is right.
Listener Drew in Hotlanta sent me one. Works in a toxic environment.
Mm, yeah, literally toxic versus producer for Ellen. Again, if you got air conditioning and catered lunch, it can only be so bad. Jordan Harbinger is joining us, and we got a great segment coming up. And we want to thank our good friends over at NetSuite for bringing him by. NetSuite is the world's number one cloud-based system, trusted by more than 19,000 companies. And it's the last system you're ever going to need. We got an intro for Jordan.
NetSuite presents The Wonderful World of Business with Jordan Harbinger.
Good to see you, Jordan.
Yeah, good to be here. You know, it's funny. I never realized that the guy who does the intros was a person that was like in your set, in your studio. I thought this was like some VO guy way far away. So when he said, "Let me hear you," I was like, "Oh my God, that's a real person." Oh,
yeah, he's about 4 feet away.
Yeah, it's amazing.
The wonderful Dawson. So what's our subject today, Jordan?
These smart homes that everyone's getting, that everyone loves to have, these things are getting hacked. And sometimes it's hilarious and sometimes it's actually really tragic because it can not only make you actually insecure, but it can make you go crazy. There's a lot of people that are writing into my Feedback Friday inbox that have like ex-boyfriends hacking into their home. And it goes from someone clowning on you to somebody actually like damaging your mental health or your actual health by messing with your home. So I'm going to go through like what that means and how to put a stop to it, or at least start to put a stop to it.
Yeah. It strikes me that, I mean, you have cameras and everything everywhere. Many people have exterior and interior cameras and on your phone and on all these devices. And, yeah. I mean, if someone knows what they're doing, they're going to hack into it and they're going to see lots of people and lots of compromised positions. I mean, God, it's so kind of interesting how privacy, mechanically privacy, is quite a bit from where it used to be in terms of, I don't know, I don't even know if schools have like communal showers anymore. Like, you know, when I played football in high school, it's just this big shower room.
Oh, yeah.
It was Porky's, you know, and we just 40 guys would just go in there and lather up, you know, naked. I feel like those days are a bygone era, but the part where you're having your shit all hacked into and looking at all your photos and filming you and you're on the toilet, that we're just beginning that, right, Jordan?
Yeah, that's basically just getting started. So when the Ring doorbell, or like when these doorbells came out, like the common one that sort of films, those things are super useful, right? Like they catch people stealing packages off your front porch. I mean, I got one right away and I've caught package thieves. And now people are like, hey, the police are using these as a surveillance network. And so that's kind of that's an argument for a double-edged sword. Fine, it's outside your house. What happens when somebody's inside your house? I mean, there are letters in my Feedback Friday inbox that are saying, hey, I'm pretty sure that my ex-boyfriend is turning the temperature up to 96 or whatever degrees every day, every night. I can't turn it down. I thought the thermostat was defective. I'll turn it down. It'll be back up 20 minutes later. And worse, I mean, there's a lot of Wi-Fi cameras that can be placed in your house that you place there yourself, and that somebody adds another camera to the network without your permission, and it's hidden in a socket or a bear or something like that.
Jordan, War of the Roses.
Yeah. I don't know if you remember, if anyone remembers this story, but there was a story, I think it was last year, about a little girl that, I mean, she thought her room was haunted, and the parents kept saying, like, it's fine, it's just, you're using your imagination. But it was a dude that hacked into, like, their Alexa or something, was talking to this little girl and freaking out the family. So, I mean, this stuff can get really dark.
That is super freaky. Yeah, there's a lot of people that they'll go and they'll find, okay, my ex-boyfriend. There's one example that made me prompt this initial deep dive that I did. This woman, she was saying, I think I'm going crazy, but I'm not sure. And I was like, go see a therapist. And then weeks later, she goes, no, I'm not going crazy. I just got emailed video footage from my dash cam in my car of my commute to work. And I'm thinking, wait, is it hooked up to Wi-Fi? I mean, it's a dash cam. Usually there's an SD card in there. Somebody who she had been dating had figured out how to just put these aren't hackers. These are people that just get your password or make an account on your system because they live with you. He let himself into her garage via his phone because it can open and close the garage. He went in her car and took out the SD card, and he was able to take the footage out. But wow. He also went in the house. So you've got this poor woman who's an attorney, who's very like a stable minded person. And she's going, okay, you're going to laugh at me, but I just picked something off my wall about the size of a nickel. Could it be a camera? And I'm like, no, that's where you're going over the line. Like Chinese or Russia, the KGB is not tracking your movements, but you're getting so paranoid about everything in your house that now she's like, wait, is this clock something that I own? I don't remember buying this clock. You know, she's going bonkers because this guy is essentially gaslighting her.
Jordan,
it's really easy to do.
Question. I have to keep replacing the AA batteries in my universal remote.
There you go.
Could Lindsay, my old girlfriend from the 80s, could she somehow be responsible? Now, it works for a couple of months, but it seems like the batteries in the universal remote go bad pretty quick, a lot more suspiciously quickly. Even when I do the move where I pop the hatch and roll them around with my thumb.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Lick it.
Even then, they still, okay. So,
hey, real quick,
yes.
this story is from December, and the headline is, Man Hacks Ring Camera in 8-Year-Old Girl's Bedroom Taunts Her.
Can I say this? None of this has to happen. You know what I mean? Like, what I'm saying is, like, when people go, hey, man, you leave your briefcase on your passenger seat, you're going to get your window broken. Like, mm-hmm. You don't have to. Like, yeah. I could leave my backpack on my passenger seat of my car and park it out in the street. No one has to break into the car.
Right.
Like, old guys don't have to haunt. Just because they have the technology to haunt an 8-year-old doesn't mean you have to do it. Like,
oh, it doesn't?
No.
I always wonder naively, like the kids who, you know, pee in the Coke, whatever, and then, you know, run off to watch somebody drink it or whatever. Like, what's in it for you? Like, there's no payoff. You can't brag to anybody. Hey, guess what I did to this 8-year-old? Like, there's no payoff for you.
I'll tell you off the air because this is Jordan's segment. Sorry.
No problem. Yeah, the only issue that we have here is that people are allowing this to happen. There's no, unless you are a serious figurehead in business, like unless you're Jeff Bezos and Ben Salman or whatever is hacking into your phone to get underwear nudies that you're sending to your girlfriend.
I forgot about that. Yeah,
we all forgot about that. But it's very similar. Like, that's a targeted attack. Most of these they're not really, I mean, they're targeted attacks, but they're also, they're pretty low tech, right? It's an ex-boyfriend or an ex-husband or something like that trying to mess with you because it's the only thing they have left of any control in your life. And they've just managed to get your Wi-Fi password and get inside some of your devices, unless they're really, really computer savvy. Most people, how this happens, because I wanted to figure out how to prevent it, because that's really the key. I mean, going through and undoing everything and wiping all your devices, it's a huge pain. And there's a process to it, but mostly you can prevent this from happening. Everyone says don't use the same password everywhere, and yet everyone does that. You need to get an app like 1Password and save different passwords. People think they're being really creative with being like using their middle name and 1234 as the password on their Google account, which then is used to log into Ring and all these other different sort of brands like that. Like that's problematic. And it's not the device that's the problem. It's always user error. It's always human element going, well, it'll be fine. Like, I guarantee you the parents of that little girl were like, we don't need to put a password on this. No one's going to jump on our Wi-Fi network and find our cameras. They just didn't think about it.
We have a phone. We have audio of that.
Oh, no. I was just letting you know, Adam, that with these apps, like, people do play pranks, and I actually have audio of someone playing a prank on me with using a technological app.
Should we hear that?
Yeah,
let me do that? Open it for here. Now you say prank. Cool. You just mean straight up prank, or they're trying to get your info, or
yeah. So what it is somebody had an app that where
drained his bank account. It's what a prank.
Someone had an app where and it could get really malicious if you use it in the right way, but where you call two people and it really is you're listening and one person thinks the other person called them, and vice versa, and then the other person can listen in and talk as well. So he would like have pizza places call each other, and then in this case he had me and a friend call each other, and we both answered thinking the other person called.
Hello?
Hey, what's going on?
What's happening, man?
Nothing, just chilling at home.
Huh?
Just hanging out at home. What's up?
Oh, nothing much. Just eating some soup.
Oh, right on.
Hold on, I gotta beat off. This is hot.
I don't know, Jed made it.
Oh, right on.
Like a coconut, like a Thai coconut thing.
Really good. Wow, that sounds delicious. That sounds delicious.
Yeah, man.
This is amazing.
But yeah, I'm making some tea, you know.
I would have dropped seven N-bombs by now and been banished from society.
Okay, now the fun begins.
A little bit of reading before we take the dogs out for a last walk, but you know, yeah.
I'm having a ball out here.
Oh, who are you with?
What?
Who are you with?
It's me and Lauren.
Now I'm really getting interested.
See, this is what happens when two nice people
nice to talk to
run
you.
Into each other. If this was my grandmother, she'd be like, I'm hanging up. I told you, I forgot about this, but I don't know why I was thinking about it the other day, but my grandmother was mean, like Brian's grandmother was mean.
That's right.
And mean people, they don't pretend for 5 minutes they're not mean people. Like I would
they can't.
I would call her up and she'd go, "Hello?" And I'd go, "Hi, grandma." And she'd go, "Okay." And I'd go, "Hi, grandma." She'd go, "All right." I'd go, "Hello, grandma." And she'd go, "Hello, your highness." Like that's how mean my grandmother was. She wouldn't even say hi when she picked up the fucking phone.
One of my favorite instances of my grandma being mean and impatient. There they go hand in hand. I think I've told this before, but if my grandpa, who was a little slower, he was a Canadian fella, you know, he walked at his own pace. He would tell a story, and it would be a little bit meandering, and it would get 13 seconds into the story, my grandma would have steam coming out of her ears, and she just burst out, "Oh, what were you wearing?"
You want to talk about the shortest and the meanest of the phone on the phone? Jimmy's first wife, Gina, I'd call the house, and she'd pick up the phone, and she'd go, "Hello?" And I'd go, "Oh, hi, Gina, it's Adam. Is Jimmy there?" And she'd just hear like,
"Hello? Hello?
Hello?" And then Jimmy would pick up like, she wouldn't say, "I'll get him."
Yeah, one second.
Hold on. Let me find him. Nope. She just dropped the phone down.
Terrific.
You know, none of these people are in a hurry, by the way. It's not like my grandmother and Gina was like, hey, when are we going to get that suspension bridge finished? We're way over budget. I don't know. I keep fielding these phone calls. There was not. It's not like they weren't doing anything. But like my grandmother was retired and putzing around a house in North Hollywood.
My girl was in a cabin in Lake Tahoe.
Yeah. Where's the fire, bitches? All right. Sorry. What else we got, Jordan?
Stock traders. Yeah. So this gets dangerous, of course, when people start physically accessing your house. That's when things get really crazy. Like, yes, you can change all your passwords. Yes, you can wipe all your devices. I did an article about it that I threw on my website. But if you're trying to catch somebody entering your property, this is when you have to get tricky. You should order other cameras, but don't order them using your Amazon account because they might already be in there. And if they're looking at your house, they can see what you're getting. And they can, if you're adding these to your existing account, they'll have access to that too. So what you want to do is get something that they don't know you have. So you can have your neighbor order it and then pay them back or something like that, or have a friend order it and then hook it up to your neighbor's Wi-Fi and aim it at your house. So if their neighbor, if the window's facing you or their garage is facing you, you can aim it at your house. And that's how we ended up catching somebody who was going into someone else's garage but had access to the camera network. He would delete the footage of the break-ins, and this woman would be like, I don't understand what's going on. There's an hour of missing footage, and that happens to be when he clearly came into my garage and did this. So we put the camera in the neighbor's window across the street facing them. He was probably even seeing cameras on the neighbor's Wi-Fi networks, but just thought, well, I don't need this. This doesn't belong to the woman I'm targeting. So we got him dead to rights, crawling in her garage and opening it and using the different devices in the house. So you can use your neighbor, since everybody has Wi-Fi, you can use your neighbor's Wi-Fi with their permission and then log into their accounts and catch the people doing this. Cause it can get pretty egregious. And of course the police will never believe you that someone is hacking into your home. They're going to do what those little girls' parents did and say, no one's talking to you. You're 8 years old. You're going crazy. You know, you're just being ridiculous.
Thanks, Jordan. Very sound and safe advice this time around. We got an outro for Jordan?
Ah, what a wonderful world of business. Jordan Harbinger, brought to you by NetSuite.
I want to thank NetSuite for sponsoring that. You can schedule your free product tour right now. Get your free guide. 7 key strategies to grow your profits at netsuite.com/Adam. Support our sponsors and Jordan Harbinger, the Jordan Harbinger Show, available now on Spotify and Podcast One as well on the website, jordanharbinger.com. Thanks for the sagely advice, Jordan.
Yeah, you got it. Great to see you guys.
We'll take a quick break. We'll come back with Gina Grad and the news right after this.